Hi, and welcome to the latest and greatest of the Honest Modern Dating Podcast. You know it, I know it, this is your favorite podcast. I know. I just want to point out, last week's podcast, by far, was one of my favorite, if not the best podcasts I've ever produced. And the reason why I say this is because, look, very rarely do I actually listen to my own podcasts. Like, I'm creating the content, I'm creating the videos, I'm producing so much shit that I very rarely take time to listen to a whole thing and to enjoy it rather than looking at it to be what I can improve and things like that. And the last podcast I did, I actually listened to a couple times because it even affected me. You know, like, that's how fucking special it was. So if you haven't already listened to that, please listen to that. It even brought a few people to tears just through some realizations about learning to trust yourself and things like that. But this podcast kind of builds off, like, kind of builds up on that. It kind of builds up on that, this whole idea of trust, self-love, things like that, which we've been talking about for a while. But I want to talk about one of the biggest reasons why a lot of guys disappear. And, you know, guys listening to this podcast as well, the biggest reasons why a lot of girls disappear. But this, I found, is a really big common trend, especially with the people that I'm working with. So listen up, bucko, because now we're going to actually get into some real fucking meat. Now, let's describe a common situation. This is so common, I think it's silly. So the common situation is that you're interested in a guy, right? You're interested in a guy. It seems to be going really well. Maybe you've been seeing each other for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, a year, sometimes two. You know, like, it can be a while. And then all of a sudden, he starts to act strange. In fact, you realize that he's been acting strange for a while. You've only just noticed it. And when he started to act strange, it's like, well, he starts to push you away. He's starting to move away from you. He's starting to not really want to spend a lot more time with you. And when this happens, it's kind of like, well, you know, what do you do now? So what most people do in that situation is that they try and do the same thing that they've been doing. You know, it's like, well, you know jokes, like, we connected over jokes, I'll bring up those old jokes. You know, I remember we connected over music, we're going to do music. And it's interesting because in these darker spaces where the relationship doesn't seem to be working as much, you end up digging in a little bit more deeper. So you try a bit harder to do the same things that don't necessarily work. Now, then the possibly inevitable happens. And I say possibly because it's not always what happens. He doesn't want to see you anymore. Now, in some cases, he might just disappear. And if he just disappears, I'm sorry. In some cases, he just might say he doesn't want to see you anymore. Now, a big thing, right? A big thing that I see a lot. And if you want some insider knowledge in the world of dating, listen up. But the thing that I observe the most is, gosh, there's a lot of guys who go through a lot of funerals. You know, and it's after a while you start to think, hey, you know, sure, people die. But the thing is, okay, and the reason why I bring up funerals is because a common situation that I find is that there'll be a death in the family and there'll be a death in the family and this guy will change. And there is a number of reasons why this happens. And I say, gosh, there's a number of funerals because it's fucking always around a funeral. It's like 50% of the time, the reason why he doesn't want to see you anymore is because someone died in the family. And you might think it's completely unrelated, but let's talk about how it's actually related. So the first reason why it's related is that, well, did anyone actually die in the family? That's the real thing you have to ask yourself. Did anyone die in the family, or is it just an excuse? It's not the real reason why he doesn't want to see you anymore. And honestly, it's like a fucking trump card. You can't say, hey, well, you know, like, I'm here to, you know, it's like you can't. He's like, oh, I'm just not feeling it. You know, someone died in the family. You're like, oh my God, I can't fucking do this. Back in the good old days when I used to have a day job, I used to always joke that a day job meaning where you work for someone else, not for yourself. Even though I joke that now I have like, what, 4.5 million bosses, billion, what's the population of the earth? You guys, my bosses. But back in the good old day when I used to be employed by another human being, I used to joke with everyone else that for every job you had, you only got one funeral card. You know, I'm sick. I can't come into work today. Why? Someone died in the family. No one's going to question that. It's such a, like, a taboo topic that no one can question that. So when you think of this, right, there is a number of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons that I find is, look, he just wasn't that into you, he was too afraid of telling you, and so he said there's been a death in the family. Now, all of these reasons, what, now at the end of this, I'm going to tell you what to do, and in fact, I might even make a YouTube video about this, that'll be really helpful. But I'll tell you what to do after I explain all the situations, so that'll give you some real context about this. One fucking solution solves all the problems, and in fact, also solves problems if someone is trying to, you know, just avoid you in general. You know, this really, really works, so just tune in. But, look, there's that situation. The other situation is that he was deeply affected by it, and it brought out some stuff, because that's a thing that genuinely happens. Now, I joke that, you know, is he actually a death in the family? Is he actually? But this fucking happens as well, you know? It forces us to go deep. Now, one thing that I often share with people that I work with one-on-one is that, look, instead of looking at things like sadness, instead of looking at things like depression, instead of looking at people like fucking broken, like, it's funny, it's like, yo, I want to fix people when I meet some coaches. I'm like, there's no one needs to be fixed. They just need to discover themselves a bit more. That's not a broken thing. But when we look at sadness, we want to get rid of the idea of sadness overall. Like, let's fucking, like, boot it out the window. As someone who suffered from depression in my childhood years and, like, up until fucking recently, I want to share, like, even that. Like, let's get that out of the window. And, like, throw in a new idea that's a bit more powerful and serving than sadness. Sadness doesn't fucking exist, which some people get really pissed off if I say this. It's called deep introspection. Your body goes into a more depressed mode rather than an expressed mode because something happened that is forcing you to tune back in to who you are. It's like you built a building. And then you realize that you forgot a foundation, so the building collapsed. Now you got to build that building up. You know, it's almost like you're redefining yourself. And if you say that you're sad and that you're stuck in sad and you don't want to feel sad anymore, you'll stop yourself from feeling what truly needs to happen. And that is a recomposition, a rebuilding, a re-foundational growth of who you are. So then if you say, I'm sad, I don't want to feel sad, then you rob yourself from the growth and benefit that that deep introspective growth phase is actually there for. It's a beautiful thing. And if you stop yourself from feeling that beauty that's in that deep introspection, then you will miss out like the fucking fruits, the strength, the power that comes from that. But then we talk about these guys who have a death in the family and they don't want to see you anymore because guess what? It's time for them to do some deep introspection and there is no amount of play, there is no amount of forcing them out that will try and like that can help, that can shake them out of it because that is their job, not your job. Again, the amount of fucking people I talk to that talk to a guy or they're talking to someone that they're interested in and they are trying to change the other human being. Like, I you know, it might be like, but I just want to help them. I just want to help them. Help is change. Now, the thing is, does that person want that change that you're giving them? We have to remember, we have to realize this, that, like, honestly, like, you know, people say, like, I just want to show them the way. Which means, I just want to show them my way. That's why it's like, I want to help them. I want to help them be like me, do what I need to do. And so, I'm not putting down your help. What I'm saying is that help someone who wants to fucking be helped. So, here's the thing, right? And then for all you people, or you people out there, who think that you have to act a certain way, otherwise your fucking partner will be insecure or be hurt. You are assuming that your partner can't fucking handle the truth and that your partner is not strong enough to handle who you are for what you are, so you need to alter who you are. So for this, I gotta say, why do you have to change yourself for other people? Can't your fucking partner look after themselves? This is why I often say we don't get in a relationship to be happy. We get in a relationship because we are happy. It's another manifestation of our happiness. So when you're connecting with someone, when you're trying to help someone, doesn't make them happy to have someone say, "You're broken, I should fix you." And sure, maybe they feel broken, but what's more powerful? Them helping themselves or you helping them? Probably them helping themselves, because at a fucking neurological level, their fucking neurons connect and they are able to form new, and they can get themselves out of it. This is what I call closing a loop. Your mind will go insane trying to like figure out the solution to a problem, which, by the way, the solution to most problems is to try and to stop figuring them out. Isn't that interesting? But you know, but once you complete your own cycle, your mind knows how to get out of it again and 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 again, because you created your own strategy of success. Your own strategy of success, not some bullshit tactic that, you know, you're like, how to not feel sad. And so you go online and it's like, how to not feel sad. Eat a banana. It's like, what is this arbitrary knowledge that people put out there? This is why half the shit that I say isn't very, like, doesn't really tell people what to do as much. Now, at the end of this video, I'm going to tell you what to do, but that's because I found that for most situations, this is a good solution, and by trying out the solution, you then learn a little bit through your own methods and your own tactics and things like that, through your own fucking neural connections. But it's like, if you blindly follow someone's tactics or ideas or strategies, you don't fucking know. It's what they call confirmation bias. Confirmation bias or authority bias is like listening to an authority. Now, I know I'm good, right? I know I'm good, but let's look at Instagram. No one fucking knew that I was good until I had at least 5,000 followers. Do you see this? And then you're like, oh, the person has 5 million followers. They must have a good opinion. It's like, no. They just learned how to manifest their beliefs a bit more deeper through their, like, I'm someone worth listening to. So they created that over time as a manifestation of them believing their own thoughts. So when you believe your own thoughts, that's how you get followers. But when you believe your own thoughts, you then create a world that's in alignment with you, because your thoughts and beliefs are so strong that you then create the... Everything you do becomes a reflection of that. So, the biggest thing that kills relationships and pushes men away is the word supposed to. I have never encountered someone that is thinking that they are like, that they've come to me for a coaching call or something, and they are trying to get this guy back because he was supposed to do these things. He was supposed to make me happy. He was supposed to love me. He said he was gonna do 100 things and he was supposed to do it. And this is why I often say, don't look at a guy's words, look at his actions. And if you're a guy listening to this, don't look at a girl's words, look at her fucking actions, because the actions speak louder than words. You know that old cliche? It's a cliche for a reason. It's because people said it enough that it became a cliche. So when we say actions speak louder than words, if he promises you the world and he runs away, it shows you that he didn't have the world to give to you. And so then he's gone into this deep introspective sad space because he needs to fucking rebuild himself and understand who he is. But when you go from that supposed to mindset, when you though then go and communicate to him, you were supposed to hang out, you were supposed to date me, you were supposed to make me happy, that shit does not help anyone. Because that's the reason why he ran away. He wanted to do those things, but then it became his job, and a relationship is not a job. It's a fucking privilege. So you go to your work to do all, like, if you work for someone else, then, not, because that's what I say, I don't do this because I think I'm supposed to do it. When you work for someone else, most of the time you do the things you're supposed to do. Some people do the things they want to do, and if you're in a job like that, that's fucking great. But when you go to your relationship should be a place where you don't have to worry about the supposed tos. You don't have to worry about being something that you're not. You don't have to worry about trying to change who you are. It should be the place where there is no supposed tos. And then I speak to these people, and they say, he was supposed to do this, he was supposed to do that. And I ask them, supposed to? Like it was his job? I was like, no, he said he would. He said he would, great. But people are fucking, we are human beings. We change in a moment. We change in a mindset. We change in a fucking second. Words, actions, thoughts, things like that. Sounds. You walk by a poster and suddenly you're like looking at that poster. One of the biggest things that I can help you understanding when it comes to understanding that weird logic of emotion is that it's somewhat fucking illogical. There is somewhat a not, how do I say this? Like, when you stop wanting people to make sense, they make a hell of a lot of sense. Personally, I don't ask myself to make any sense. I don't. Like, I stopped trying to make sense of myself, and my life has been amazing. I'll tell you a story. So, was it Thursday? Thursday, so today's Saturday, if you're listening to this on the day it's released, which I hope you are, and if you're not, I'm coming for you. So Thursday, I had the whim to buy a pair of Gucci sunglasses. Never have I ever worn, like, you know, I've never bought a piece of clothing that was worth that much money before. And I just felt like it, especially sunglasses. Because growing up, I came from a background that was, like, look, you didn't buy these luxury things. Growing up, I used to want to have hobbies and stuff like that. And my mom used to always say to me, look, you know, like, if you bought that in India, that would be the price of, like, groceries for a month. And so I've bought the price of sunglasses that are probably the price of groceries for my mom's family for a whole year in these fucking sunglasses. And the reason why I'm telling you this story is because I'd recommend it for, like, this is an expensive thing to try out. But I'd recommend it because when you go to a Gucci store, they try hard, you know? They give you a butler. Like, they give you a butler to serve you. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up, to get back to the point, is that the butler guy, the guy who's serving me, he's like, so what makes you want to buy these glasses? And I said, I have no idea. I had the whim. I had the idea. I had the feeling. But I'll know tomorrow. Have you ever had those impromptu inspirations that you just thought you need to do something and it just makes no sense why until later? Well, that's what I shared to this guy, and he was like, that makes a lot of sense. Now I can tell you 1,000 reasons why I bought these sunglasses. I needed to get fucking over myself. And also, next time I buy a pair of sunglasses like this, I'm gonna have a reason. No, they were fun. Actually, it was fun. Maybe again in the future. But the overall thing is, like, most of the times we fucking backwards rationalize. We backwards rationalize. Like, we say we eat something because we're hungry, but sometimes we needed to eat something because we wanted a break, you know? We say we're thirsty, or say we're tired because we wanted to lie down. Sometimes we wanted to lie down because we're fucking stressed out, and we just needed a time out, and our body knows that we're not going to take stress for a reason, so we got to do it one way or the other, you know what I mean? So when we stop trying to take control and to stop trying to make sense of humans, ourselves, the world around us, and you start living in these weird, impulsive, ways. And then people say, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. And that's super impulsive. I'm like, well, maybe that's a thing you need to do. Because when you don't go to work tomorrow, suddenly your boss calls you up and says, hey, if you don't come to work, I'm going to fire you. And then suddenly you feel like the impulse is to go to work. But we get this word called synchronicity. Now, if people don't know what synchronicity is, synchronicity to me is like the events just seem to line up in a completely weird and irrational way. And this is what I'm talking about. You can't fucking predict how actions, how interactions, how your encounters are going to meet. Like, how, you know, it's like, so stop trying and start following your heart. If your heart says, hey, go on Tinder, go on Tinder. But if your heart says, hey, go on Tinder because there's no other way to meet people, I'm here to tell you that that's wrong. Step outside the front door, you'll meet a lot of people. Synchronicity is this weird way in which things align. I look at it, for example, every person... Look, I put out a lot of content. It's podcasts, videos, the mini courses, the, I don't know, Facebook posts, things like that. And every time that I get a client, it's like I can't fucking predict it. It's like I maybe can predict it. It's like I know that if I was to stop doing the podcast and stuff like that, maybe the people that listen to my podcasts won't click through, for example. But, you know, to say that that's the only way is completely random. And you don't know the journey people go through to get to you. You know, I get this a lot where some people, you know, people need to go through bad relationships to know what good relationships feel like. Otherwise, they don't appreciate it. They can't handle it. They get what I call maxed out. You know, it's like too good. So they like explode, you know, like, I don't think I deserve this. So I'm going to leave. Self-sabotaging for those people who call it that way. But you can't fucking predict it. Like, you know, it'll be like you feel like the impromptu is to go to this event or to go fundraising or something like that. And then you'll meet someone there. But it's like you don't know. And I'm sharing this like from my own life. Like, no, I'm not going to share that story. But that's what I spent this entire time contemplating. I was like, do I share this story? Do I not? Maybe in a future podcast. In the future, I'm going to do this program called The X Factor or My X Factor or just X Factor if I don't breach copyright things, which is going to be like a string of podcasts, but it'll be like a month-long course, you know, like 30 days or 25 days of just these ideas, like stuff that you can listen to on the way to work, stuff that you can listen to coming home from work or even just around the house while cooking, things like that. And the reason why I want to do this is because I also recognize that there are some people who just can't afford working with me, and I get that. So I want to create a program that is kind of like a no-frills, like really kind of my core messages brought across for people so they can listen to and basically expose their mind to some really new ideas, like the podcast, but a lot deeper, and they would stack on top of each other. So if that's something you're interested in, go to Harvey at gethimhooked.com. And send me a message if you'd like that. But anyway, so to wrap this up, synchronicity. Synchronicity is the random course of events that will get you to your amazing partner. Synchronicity is the random course of events that will get you to clients, meeting people, whatever the fuck you want, but you can't predict it, so stop trying to. And this is why I bring it back to the whole supposed to things, because when you say supposed to, well, he wasn't meant to supposed to do anything. He's fucking human. He can do whatever he wants. You can do whatever you want. And together you create something amazing. That's the fucking secret right there. Is that it's two whole people coming together. He was supposed to make me happy. What tactic can I use to make him make me happy? Is what people come to me. Someone actually said to me, and I really want to share this as well. Someone on a Facebook Live asked me, you know, he needs time. How much time do I give him? And I know this person is looking for a concrete answer, like a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You know, like, what's the exact period of time? It's like, I can't fucking tell you that. Because the thing is, after 3 months, you're going to be the same person that goes to him with the same... It's like he's looking for a fruit salad and you're only giving him steak. Now, I'm not saying that you aren't enough here. I'm not saying that at all. But the thing is, that approach isn't really going to help because you're going to still be applying the same pressure. And here's the buildup for this whole thing. Remember how I said I was going to give you something to do if you're ever in this situation, or a text message to send that will really help? And I kind of forgot about it until now, actually. The simple thing is, you just got to send this guy a message saying, okay, I love you. I'm here to talk if you need to talk. Or, okay, I care about you. I'm here to talk if you need to talk. And then you do not message him until he messages you. Why? Because when you do not message that person, it's kind of like you're sticking to your guns. You're giving him the fucking empathy that he wants. Because the reason why he's pushing you away is because he feels unempathetic. He feels like people push people away, right? People push people away when they don't feel like their side is being heard, or they're not being included, or they're not getting what they want. So they need to take some action in order to be heard. And so when you say, if someone's pushing you away and you say, okay, you do you, I love you, I care about you, I'm here to talk, if you need to talk, that's all you need to say. Because that's empathetic and you're letting that person push you away. Who knows? In some situations, they just needed to push you away. In other situations, they just needed to know that there was empathy there. In other situations, they just don't want to be around you, and that's the great way to end it with a really nice thing that if things change in the future, the doors can be open. You know what I mean? It's like things like that. But you'll never get it if you're trying to force it. You'll never get it if you're trying to make things happen, and you'll never get it if you think he was supposed to do things, because guess what? He's not, just like you're not supposed to do anything as well. You just got to do what you got to do. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you did listen to this, make sure, if you're on iTunes, leave a review. And the review for today is 5 stars, and say 5 stars. It's my boy. And if you're listening to this on Stitcher, I don't know if there can be reviews, but if you do listen to this on Stitcher, please email me at harvey@gethimhooked.com. I fucking want to know. And please make sure to share this with everyone you know. And please, if you did not like this podcast, make sure to share this with everyone you hate. Thank you so much for listening to this. I love, I care, I adore you. This is 27 minutes and 18 seconds. You're amazing. I hope you have an amazing weekend, an amazing week. And please let me know, harvey@gethimhooked.com. Does your X factor, the X factor, whatever factor it is, really tune into you? Because if that's something that really tunes into you, then I'm going to make that program. And yeah, it'll be fantastic. So thank you so much. And I really look forward to tuning into you next week, where we talk more about honest dating and how people should get their heads out of their asses. Thank you so much, and have an amazing day. Bye.